Well, this is Easter Sunday, if you don't know already. And we're here to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it marks the beginning of Jesus' walk among humanity. We have been given something that most of the world does not have. There are people all over this world who, in some places, have God in their presence, enjoying the benefits of being in Christ. The larger part, however, are not that way, as it seems. Easter celebrates the resurrection of Jesus Christ and marks the beginning of Jesus' walk among humanity. Satan did a real workout, and he lied. Can you imagine Satan lying? He lied and tricked Adam and Eve. He did that, and he got them to sinning, causing them to be cast out of the garden and away from the Lord God. Then God confronted Satan and told him that one of Eve's offspring would one day restore his people, and that he, Satan, would be cast out in a lake of fire. That's where I want that boy to be. What about you? I don't want him in my life. I do enough stupid stuff anyway. I don't need, to polish it. Satan, what they didn't know, would be cast into a lake of fire. God loved mankind. He sent his prophets to the people to tell them that he would send a Savior, the Messiah, the Anointed One. This Messiah arrived in the form of a baby, and his name would be who? That'd be Jesus. Jesus had been given by God to save the world from their sins, and he had obeyed. Aren't you grateful? You and I don't get it right a lot. When you look out across this audience, we don't all get it. We don't all have it. But he gives it to us when we don't even deserve it. He healed the sick. He cast out demons. He condemned false leaders. And he got his people to see what was happening, that it was taking them away. He gave his life for the sins of mankind so that all who would believe in him could have eternal life. That's where I want to be. What about you? I want to be in that number. I don't want it to be a song necessarily. I love songs, but I want to be in that number. Historical records abound attesting to the life of Jesus. His life and death on the earth are considered to be the most proven of all historical figures. So for people who say, that's just wrong. We don't believe that stuff. Yet you'll pick up a history book and read that and write copious notes and other things from that, when the Bible's already telling you that he has done this often. Shortly before his rest, Jesus offered a special prayer, and it's often referred to as the Great Intercessory Prayer. Now, not everybody uses that, but it's out there to be used, and just depend on who you are, whether it gets used or not. Many scholars consider this prayer to be a conversation between Jesus and his Father, God, with Jesus speaking his request into existence. First, he prayed for himself, that the Father would receive him back into heaven and restore the glory he had before the world began. You'll find that in John 17, 4 and 5. And then what Jesus does in this thing is he prayed for the child of God that would have the same unity and let it exist between he and his Father. A unity which allows for all the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the oneness with God. According again in John chapter 17, this time verses 20 and 21. Later that day, Jesus was hung on a cross until he died. Near the point of death, he said with a loud voice, "It is finished." So upon his death, heaven and earth were shaken. I can pick up one of these chairs, probably two or three of them, and shake them all I want to. But you can't shake God. The earth was shaken with violent earthquakes. And the earth was covered not only with that, but with darkness. It was a dark day when the world rejected God and his people. Violent earthquakes. That don't sound good to me. People were seeing the veil was there to signify that the Spirit of God, who would no longer be in the ark that he had kept in the back of the temple as the most holy of holies under the old covenant, under this new covenant, the Spirit is placed in every born again believer. That's what this is about. This is not about eating eggs. We'll have time to sit down with some of our friends and our people of our own company, and we'll have a great day. But what God did is he gave himself to this world, and he cleaned it up and allowed it to be a strong entity in the whole of this thing. Under this new covenant, the Spirit's placed in every born-again believer. You don't have to go get in a line. God can already do it without you going anywhere, yes or no. God doesn't have to have a time frame. Jesus has executed his mission that was given him by his Father, and in doing that, he opened the kingdom of heaven to all who would receive him. What does that say? If you are not in the kingdom, he's opened it up and he says, "Come on in. We want you here." God calls us to be his people. He was the Passover lamb. All over the countryside during this time, they were shedding blood. On this beautiful resurrection morning, Mary had gotten up early to visit the grave of Jesus. But to her surprise, the body of Jesus was missing. What would normally happen here? There would be tears. "They've taken away my Lord. They've taken," you know. Yes, they would cry because he's been taken away. All of a sudden, surely we would know this would happen, that the words of angels at the tomb were there and there was nobody there. They came to see about Jesus and he wasn't there. Jesus had paid it all. You remember the song? Jesus died and paid it. Well, that's a great song. But that's what Jesus did for us. The better and more perfect way was God's way. New covenant with his people. Salvation and eternal life were now available to anyone who would believe and accept Jesus as their Savior. That's all God asked for. God is in the business of cleaning us up. You believe that's true? Jesus didn't need any cleaning up. He was the pure one. Jesus indwelled man's world. He was King of Kings, Lord of Lords. The chief priest and the Pharisees had tried to stop them. Neither Roman soldiers or government seals or even logged stone could prevent the King of Kings and Lord of Lords from accomplishing his mission. Jesus is the true message of Easter. Easter, the whole Easter thing, was to stir up all of the other. It's not about eating Easter eggs, and it's not about everybody having dinner on the ground or all of that, though those things are fine. For much of the world, Easter's only a tradition celebrated by Easter eggs and the Easter bunny. It has turned to that. Death, however, is a familiar force that I've seen enter the lives of my own family members, as you have, and families of so many of our people, leaving us with the same questions as those who pondered life and are living out. Not much has really changed, or has it? The apostle picked up on the theme of death in 1 Corinthians 15, and he talked about what happens when we die. I don't want to hurt anybody, but it is a fact. Anyone born of this world will die. Yes or no? It's not a maybe. It's not a hope. Not a hope not. It's going to get you. Even though you die, God will bring you back. If God says it's going to happen, what's going to happen? It's going to happen. Do you know, in the time of Jesus, some had taught that there was no resurrection for the dead. When you die, you're dead all over. That's it. Others had taught that the soul simply sleeps. Well, that's all cute and everything, but it's not what God said. You and I have a different place. Paul, in refuting this bad theology, advances a powerful argument. Let me tell you how powerful this argument is. Nita said on the way here, we're just talking about different stuff and whatever. She said, well, you'll be with Paul today. And you're going to be listening to him. And you know what? Paul's all over this. We will die, but we will live again. Now, you can eat Easter eggs till you die. They're not going to be the things that bring them to, but I want you to enjoy the egg. Paul said, as in Adam, all die. That's the truth. In Christ, he says, all will be made new. I'm going to die. Alan's going to die. I don't know who else is going to get it first. But I can tell you that God's on our side. It's a gospel conspiracy. I want you to know that's taken over the earth through love and grace. And that's why he said, go into all the world. Preach gospel to all the world. Paul said, as in Adam all die, and Christ will all be made alive. He was saying that everything includes humanity. We are all sons and daughters of Adam. We all die because we're children carrying the virus of sin. Sin produces death, but for all who turn to Jesus Christ through the repentance and faith will receive resurrection life, and they will be made live again. They will be made live again. I'll tell you what we're going to have with death, life, and death. At death, we'll pass immediately into the presence of the Lord by the righteous life and sacrificial death of Jesus. At the coming of Christ, Our bodies will raise from the grave, and we will be bodily and soul complete in the new heaven and earth to come. This means that the old enemy, death, has been dealt a great blow and is on his way to a terminal defeat. In the book of Revelation, we see the saints praising the Lamb of Jesus Christ gathered at the throne of God. Something happened, and that something is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This, by the way, the Bible says, precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of His saints. God agrees you're going to die. I can't fix that. You can't conjure up some kind of brew and bring it that way. But you know how you can get it? When you lay down in death, you will not be alone. Here's what he says. This is your favorite, Paul. This is why the Apostle Paul concluded this part of the resurrection with the unforgettable line, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? We'll live forever. I'm going to die. I'm going to lay quietly until the resurrection, at which time God chooses, not me or you. I will stand on this earth again after I die, not right after you die. There's going to be a lot of stuff going on that God does, separating and all this kind of stuff. But just hang on. He's coming. He came here right. He did it all right this time. What's he going to do now? I tell you what I believe. I believe if God said it, I'm going to embrace it. And I don't care who says, oh no, that's a bunch of hooey. I don't care who says that. It's not true. You and I have been given a gift. And today we're reminded that's what this lesson is about, because it's Easter. And it's because of the Christ. And it's all because of the Father. I have that. And you have that. Don't mess it up. You might not get all these words right in the Bible. I don't know. Some of these words are a little hard. Have you noticed when you read the Bible, a little hard? Now, I do somewhere have a big note Bible. I'm getting to where I need the big one. Let me tell you this, and don't you forget it. God is on our side. And no matter what happens, no matter who thinks we're crazy, I love you, and I want to see every one of us is in His embrace when it comes to the time when God says to His children, come home, and we all stand around His place, which is going to be huge, by the way, and we'll enjoy His company forever and ever. And the church said, amen.